Welcome to this week's edition of the Wallingford and District Talking newspaper, bringing you news from the Wallingford Herald on Wednesday, the 24th of September 2025, and some other items from the internet. The readers this week are Hugh, Jill, and Nina. The copier and distributor is Pete, and I'm your producer, Keith.
Good evening, this is Hugh Roderick reading the first item. Shoplifting getting worse in the town. Businesses fears after antique silver stolen. Business owners in Wallingford have said burglary and shoplifting are getting worse in the town after antique silver was stolen from an independent dealer. Thames Valley Police released images of two men officers wanted to speak to in connection with a burglary from the Antiques Arcade in Wallingford at the crossroad of High Street and Castle Street. And there are two photographs of the men that the police want to talk to, both of them wearing baseball caps and not much more visible of their faces. The full story is later picked up in the newspaper. Theatre hosts UK premiere of Brazilian play. Wallingford's theatre has hosted the UK premiere of a Brazilian play translated by a local actor and director. Len Panett, a Brazilian-English qualified bilingual interpreter who grew up in Rio de Janeiro, was inspired to translate a famous work of theatre from its popular original and bring it to audiences in Wallingford at the Court Exchange. The play he translated and directed is The Inheritance, a new adaptation of seminal Brazilian work, A Partija, by acclaimed playwright Miguel Falabella. Mr. Panett said, "It's been a long-held desire to bring a flavour of Brazilian theatre to a new audience here. Brazilians got a very rich cultural heritage, especially since theatre has become so much more open and accessible to Brazilian audiences in recent years. I wanted to do something that could transcend cultures and be understood by a non-Portuguese or Brazilian audience, and this piece made the most sense. It transcended that cultural difference really well, because it's all about personal and family relationships. The story focuses on four sisters who reunite at their mother's funeral after years apart and assess how their lives have changed." And the article carries a photograph taken from The Inheritance performed at the Corn Exchange with an image of four ladies on set.
Hello, I'm Jill. And this article is entitled Boris Criticises Utter Woke Students After Activist Slur. Former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has slammed utter woke Oxford University students following comments made about Charlie Kirk. US conservative activist Mr. Kirk, who co-founded right-wing organisation Turning Point USA, was shot and killed on September the 10th. The 31-year-old had been speaking at Utah Valley University and was addressing a crowd of thousands when gunshots were heard. Following the killing, it emerged that George Abercrombie, a student of Oxford University and president-elect of the Oxford Union, made several comments online appearing to celebrate what happened. The Times reported that in one message to fellow students in a WhatsApp chat, Mr. Abercrombie wrote, "Charlie Kirk got shot. Let's," and in brackets expletive deleted, "go." While another on his Instagram account read, "Charlie Kirk got shot. Lol." The Oxford Union's administration has condemned his comments whilst also criticising the racist abuse aimed at Mr. Abercrombie. In a recent lengthy statement, the society, which was founded in 1923, said, "The Oxford Union has always been one of the world's foremost defenders of free speech. We will continue to defend freedom of expression in all its forms. But free speech cannot and will not come at the expense of violence, intimidation, or hate." Now, former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who lives in Brightwell-cum-Sotwell near Wallingford, has waded into the row, branding young people the wettest generation since the flood. The Conservative was president of the society in 1986. In an opinion article in the Daily Mail, he said, "There is increasing evidence that younger people are so mollycoddled and airbagged and swaddled with political correctness that their general levels of anxiety are not falling but rising." The Johnsons moved into Brightwell Manor after paying £3.8 million for the Grade 2 listed property in 2023 and are semi-regularly seen in the surrounding towns. In the Daily Mail, he cited the decreasing number of young people taking their driving test, drinking alcohol, and having sex as evidence of their wetness. He added that he felt that they were taking refuge in the relative safety of the electronic world and refusing any form of danger. Mr. Johnson added that this could be seen as encouraging to the UK's enemies, including Russian President Vladimir Putin. "They must believe that we are mentally and physically robust, that we are willing to stand up for freedom," he said. The Conservative said that he was sure the younger generation would step up if needed, and that the Oxford Union is, in fact, bursting with all the zap, confidence, pluck, and gumption the nation is going to need.
This is Nina. Predatory pickpocket detained in town. A man described by police as a predatory pickpocket who targeted vulnerable and elderly people was detained by police before being released. Thames Valley Police said officers noticed the man while on patrol on Saturday afternoon in Wallingford. Working with council CCTV operators, they located the individual and saw him acting in his usual predatory behaviour. They then detained and searched him. A spokesperson for police said, "Whilst on patrol yesterday, police community support officers from the Didcot and Wallingford neighbourhood team have sighted a male known to police walking down the high street in Wallingford. The male is known to target vulnerable and elderly people in order to steal their purses or wallets and take their cash or cards." With the help of the council CCTV operators, they were able to locate his whereabouts, and as he was acting in his usual predatory behaviour, he was detained for a search. The police found nothing that indicated an offence, and no victims came forward. As such, he was let go and was subsequently seen leaving Wallingford. The police spokesman person added, "Thankfully, on this occasion, there appeared to be no offences and no victims have come forward." He was subsequently seen leaving Wallingford after being issued with a lifetime ban from Waitrose.
Thames Water, reservoir to cost £1.9 billion over 65 years. A massive new reservoir planned for a site near Abingdon will cost £1.9 billion to operate for its first 65 years, according to the latest figures revealed by Thames Water. But campaigners opposing the new reservoir claim this figure is a gross underestimate and believe the operating costs over 65 years will total about £16 billion. The company previously revealed the estimated price for building the reservoir has risen from £2.2 billion to between £5.5 billion and £7.5 billion. The estimated £1.9 billion operating costs are in addition to the construction costs with customers of Thames Water, Affinity Water and Southern Water paying for the reservoir through their bills. The government has backed the South East Strategic Reservoir Operation, option SESRO, which will cover an area the size of Gatwick Airport, and a judicial review bid by opponents CPRE Oxfordshire and Safer Waters was defeated earlier this year. Some embankment tests have already been completed by Thames Water in the Steventon area. The 4.5 square mile reservoir is expected to secure water supply for 15 million people. Neville Muncaster, Strategic Water Resources Director for Thames Water, said, "The cost of operating the reservoir has not increased. It is simply that our most recent report used numbers based on much higher potential use of the reservoir, which is prudent practice when managing a project of this scale. We are seeing more frequent and longer droughts and need to plan for the reservoir potentially being used more often if needed." Operating costs can be affected by all kinds of factors, including how often the region experiences drought, how long the reservoir will be in use, how often it's used and the way it's used, and how frequently different components need to be maintained and replaced. We have used a more conservative assumption in our latest planning, which is the right approach when forecasting potential costs. We remain confident that the reservoir is the most cost-effective option when to securing water supply for 15 million people across the South East, including Thames Water, Affinity Water and Southern Water customers. The £1.9 billion operational costs assessment is based on 2022 to 2023 prices.
Tools stolen from van in overnight break-in. A large number of tools were stolen from a works van parked in South Oxfordshire. Police have been made aware of the theft in Windrush Road in Beaconsfield near Wallingford. Officers say the incident happened overnight on Wednesday, September 17th into Thursday, September the 18th. It said that the offender or offenders broke into the rear doors of a parked white van in Windrush Road before Makita tools were taken. Investigating officer PCSO Jones said, "We would like to speak to anyone who has information, CCTV or dash cam footage within the area at this time to please come forward. If you have any information around this incident, please contact the Thames Valley Police Inquiry Centre on 101, quoting reference 4325 0477 146, or online." Hosepipe ban continues. A hosepipe ban will remain in place across large parts of Oxfordshire after summer 2025 was confirmed as the hottest on record by the Met Office. The ban affects Thames Water customers in the OX, GL, SN, RG4, RG8 and RG9 postcode areas. Despite recent rainfall, Thames Water says resources remain under pressure due to only half the average rainfall over the past 6 months. Neville Muncaster, Strategic Water Resources Director at Thames Water, said, "This summer has been the hottest on record, and in our region alone, we've had less than half the rainfall we would expect over the last few months, meaning rivers and groundwater levels in the west of our region are still under significant pressure."
This is a continuation of the shoplifting story that we began with. Shoplifting is getting worse as antique silver is stolen. Business owners in Wallingford have said burglary and shoplifting are getting worse in the town after antique silver was stolen from an independent dealer. Thames Valley Police released images of two men officers wanted to speak to in connection with the burglary from the Antiques Arcade in Wallingford at the crossroad of High Street and Castle Street. At about 4 p.m. on August the 29th, three silver tableware items costing between £700 and £800 were stolen from a locked cabinet. The arcade is in an historic building serving as an inn since the 17th century, which became an antiques consortium in 1960, now hosting more than 70 independent antique dealers. One of them told us they'd suffered thefts too, and they're not the only one. Darren Mace, director of the neighbourhood business Castles Antiques, said it's a problem which is getting worse. He described a notable increase in distraction thefts when several people come in and distract the shopkeeper with an inquiry while their co-conspirator steals from them. The businessman experienced this recently when two antique rings were stolen from a cabinet which thieves had prized open. If you're on your own, you've got to be very careful, he said. Shoplifting in general is going up in the town. It's not just the antique shops. Others are experiencing it too. Even the charity shops are having bits and pieces going missing all the time. I think it's a sign of the times. Money is tight for everyone. But it's tough for independent businesses too. You just don't need bits disappearing all the time. It just adds to the costs and people are losing out, losing their livelihoods. Facing similar issues is Marceline Community Interest Boutique, a new business set up last November, which reinvests all its profits into projects in Wallingford. Owner Vicky T said the business suffered an unusual theft in which a pair of trainers were stolen and then returned. Anyone with information on the theft from Antiques Arcade should call 101 or report it to police online. Quoting the reference, 43250442766, which I'm sure you won't remember.
Rare 50p coin on sale for more than £15,000. A rare 50p coin is being sold on eBay for over £14,000. The item is listed on the online marketplace for over 28,000 times its face value and features the quote, "peace, prosperity and friendship with all nations." With Queen Elizabeth II on the back, the coin dates back to 2020. The description of this type of coin states, "This 50p coin is a must-have for any coin collector. It features the words, peace, prosperity and friendships with all nations." Minted in the United Kingdom and with a denomination of 50p, this coin is a great addition to any collection. It was issued in January 2020 and is a perfect way to commemorate the end of Brexit. Whether you are a Remainer or a Leaver, this coin is a wonderful piece of British history. Protesters failed to prevent the closure of Town Bank Branch. A protest was staged to oppose the permanent closure of Abingdon's NatWest Bank branch. The bank closed its branch in Abingdon Marketplace this week. The Bicester branch will close on Tuesday of next week. The bank said in an earlier statement, there are now 249 monthly customers using the Abingdon branch for their personal accounts, down 48% from January 2020. People gathered outside the bank and held up placards for a peaceful protest last week. Anthony Mockler of Milton Manor near Abingdon has written to NatWest CEO Paul Thwaite, urging him to keep the branch open. Mr. Mockler said in his letter, "The population of Abingdon is largely elderly and depends immensely on being able to draw out cash and pay in cash and cheques, and indeed on all the other services and advice which are advertised on the screen inside the bank in great detail. Many of the customers are not able to use the online facility, so face-to-face is much better and easier for them. Indeed, in many cases, essential." Mr. Mockler pledged to deposit an extra £50,000 in his farm account if the branch remains open. It is understood he has not yet received a response to his letter. Catherine Harrop-Griffiths, who attended the demonstration, said, "This was not a sizeable protest, but many people passed us and were quite vocal in their support of our protest. We also collected some signatures because people felt they wanted to physically express their disagreement with the decision." Ian Collett, who runs the big bookstore in the town's Berry Street precinct, has said he is saddened by the closure of the branch where he is a business customer. "There are 31 branches shutting across the UK this month, with 105 branches to close this year. Since 2015, the NatWest Group, which encompasses NatWest, Royal Bank of Scotland and Ulster Bank, has closed 1,409 branches."
Man arrested for frequent shoplifting. An Oxfordshire man has been arrested for frequent shoplifting, burglary and driving whilst disqualified. Thames Valley Police's Didcot and Wallingford neighbourhood team took into custody two wanted men on Saturday, September the 13th. A spokesperson said one of the males in particular, who was wanted for a number of offences including frequent shoplifting, burglary and driving while disqualified, According to the police, over the last couple of months, he kept evading officers on foot by using an e-scooter to take shortcuts and use side paths, which could not be followed by a patrol vehicle. On the night in question, officers were informed that a shoplifting had taken place by the male, and they saw him riding his e-scooter away from the scene. The spokesperson said, "Police community support officers followed the male and saw him enter his address. Response officers and a police dog unit came to assist and gained access to the property to arrest the male. The e-scooter was then seized and the man was taken into custody. Police remanded the male," said the spokesperson, "but the courts released him on a bail despite the many offences and best efforts by all the officers that were involved in finding and arresting the male." The spokesperson added, "Some great teamwork by the police teams involved. Just a shame we couldn't get a result in court."
Police visit woman over offensive Facebook post. A video of a Thames Valley police officer visiting an American over an offensive social media message has gone viral. The police officer was following up on a report made to the force by somebody who felt threatened by a message sent on a social media platform. In the video published by the Free Speech Union on Wednesday, September the 17th, the police officer suggested the woman should apologise to the person who made the report. The woman, not happy with the visit, told the male officer, "I'll have Elon Musk on you so quick your feet won't touch," before the video was cut off. Thames Valley Police defended the visit, saying officers are duty-bound to follow up on allegations of threats of violence. The Free Speech Union said Deborah Anderson, a mother of two, was visited at her home in June by an officer from the Thames Valley Police. He told her someone had lodged a complaint about her social media posts. She told him she was an American citizen and a member of the Free Speech Union, and he should be investigating burglaries and rapes, not hurty words on social media. Chillingly, he told her that he was there to get her to apologise to the person who was offended by her posts. If she refused, she'd be questioned down at the station. What was Deborah's supposed crime? The policeman didn't tell her. Was it her passionate support of President Trump and the MAGA movement on her Facebook and X pages? To make it worse, Deborah is in the midst of cancer treatment, including chemotherapy. She ought to have been convalescing. Instead, she was harassed for her tweets. The FSU took on her case, and as a result, the police have now dropped their investigation. But they still haven't told Deborah which of her posts got her into trouble, claiming they've accidentally deleted the record of the complaint. MS Anderson told the policeman in the video, "I haven't broken any laws. You're going to be wasting your time when you can be instead doing things that are much more important." She added, "The public knows what you guys are doing. We know what's going on in this country." Thames Valley Police said, "This video shows one of our officers following up on a report from a person who felt threatened by online comments directed at them. After engagement with both parties, no further action was taken. It is our duty to respond to allegations of threats or violence." During a press conference with Donald Trump, Sir Keir Starmer defended freedom of speech as one of the founding values of the United Kingdom, amid criticism from across the Atlantic about the UK's commitment to it.
Chief executive quits council after 8 years. Oxfordshire's second highest paid chief executive has quit his job after 8 years at the helm. Mark Stone will leave the top role at South Oxfordshire and Vale of White Horse as of September the 30th, having led since July 2017. Mr. Stone's 2023 to 2024 salary was at £215,000 and second only to Oxfordshire County Council's chief executive, Martin Reeves, who last year was paid £232,875. He said he is proud of the job he has done, which has involved steering the authorities through a pandemic and evolving local government landscape. "It is with great sadness that I leave South and Vale," he said. "I have really enjoyed my time leading the two councils, working with so many different elected members, an amazing staff group. There have been numerous challenges over my time at the councils, but I'm very proud that we've worked together so effectively, providing first-class services for the residents of the districts. As I move on, I would like to wish all councillors and staff all the very best for the future, and I'm sure whatever faces local government over the coming months and years, you will rise to the challenge." The councils said in a statement that Mr. Stone played a central role in recruiting and leading the council's current senior management team. It said under his leadership, the councils have been high-performing and low-cost across the areas of housing, waste collection and revenues. Councillor David Rouen, leader of South Oxfordshire District Council, said, "Mark is an enthusiastic expert in local government and has an innate ability to see challenges coming and understanding how to navigate them, and we will certainly miss his experienced support. He is also a very passionate advocate of the offices he led, with good reason."
Villages, £1.7 million boost from House Builder. A housing developer has pledged a £1.7 million cash boost to a village as part of its latest project. Bewley Homes said it has made the additional investment in Benson near Wallingford alongside its development of 78 homes in the village. Of these homes, 32 will be affordable, providing a mix of housing options to meet local needs. The funding, in line with the House Builders Community Infrastructure Levy agreement with the council, will support a variety of community priorities. This includes more than £570,000 for local highways, education and road safety improvements, as well as significant contributions towards public transport and biodiversity. The investment will also benefit local recycling facilities and fund high-quality public art. As part of the development, Bewley Homes will deliver a range of amenities and infrastructure for residents and the wider community. These include landscape public open space, a local play area, a boardwalk, amphitheatre-style seating, and improved links to the existing footpath network.
Warning over speeding ticket payment texts. People living across Thames Valley have been receiving a spate of scam speeding ticket texts, the police force has said. Text messages are being sent out which reference a traffic offence with a code used for speeding. These text messages have details on how to pay for the fine, along with a warning to those who don't comply with face court proceedings. This is all false, Thames Valley Police said, as the force would never request to make a payment via text message. A spokesman said, "We've been made aware of a scam involving text messages that falsely claim the recipient has a fixed penalty notice to pay. The message references traffic offences code RR84707, a speeding offence, and includes a link for payment warning that failure to pay will result in court action. These texts have been sent from various mobile numbers which appear to originate from the Philippines. So if you receive such a message, do not click on any links, delete the message immediately and block the sender's number. Thames Valley Police will never request payment of fines via text message or include payment links. If you're unsure about a message, check the sender's phone number and look out for unusual or international area codes. Stay vigilant and help spread the word to protect others from falling victim to this scam."
Police seize vehicle after hair coursing. A vehicle has been seized by police after an Oxfordshire hair coursing incident. Thames Valley Police has said its Didcot and Wallingford neighbourhood team received reports of hair coursing near Cholsey Sunday evening, September the 14th. A spokesperson said a concerned member of the public made a report of hair coursing near Cholsey. A team went to investigate as the police said hair coursing is illegal and was banned under the Hunting Act 2004. The term refers to the illegal blood sport of chasing hares with sightshounds, such as greyhounds and whippets. After attending the scene, the officers came across a suspicious vehicle which appeared to have some hare coursing related items inside. Officers ran some checks, said the spokesperson, and discovered the vehicle was registered at an address quite a distance away, and the owner had some warning markers attached to him. The spokesperson added, police community support officers then came across a muddy male in the vicinity, whom after seeing the officers started acting quite suspicious. They stopped him to have a conversation regarding the suspicions and discovered the vehicle belonged to him.
Trip on Flying Scotsman. A group of train enthusiasts have enjoyed a ride aboard the iconic Flying Scotsman. The train spotters, who meet every Wednesday to visit train stations across Oxfordshire and beyond, attended a steam day at Didcot Railway Centre. The event featured both the Flying Scotsman and Pendennis Castle. John Marlin, one of the train spotters, said it was really good and I liked travelling on the Flying Scotsman, while Mark Walker, another member of the group, asked, can we do it again? The experience was organised by Oxfordshire County Council's Whitney Community Support Service, and it's accompanied by a coloured photograph of two of the members of the group on the flying in the carriage of the Flying Scotsman.
Residents being asked to rescue items from bins. Oxfordshire residents are being asked to go the extra mile for Recycle Week 2025. This year's campaign, running from September 22nd to 28th, aims to boost recycling rates by encouraging people to recycle everyday items that often end up in general waste. Despite Oxfordshire's impressive recycling and composting rate of 57.69%, the highest in England, Oxfordshire County Council says there is still room for improvement. Councillor Judy Roberts, the Council's Cabinet Member for Place, Environment and Climate Action, said, "We know that Oxfordshire residents are already great at recycling, but there is always room for improvement. Around half of the average rubbish bin contains materials that could have been recycled. This year's Recycle Week theme, Rescue Me, Recycle highlights commonly missed items such as toilet roll tubes, empty aerosols, toothpaste tubes, trigger sprays, shampoo bottles, foil, and yogurt pots. All of these items can be collected in curbside waste collections throughout Oxfordshire." Councillor Roberts said, "With busy lives and so many different types of items, packaging and materials, we appreciate there are times when householders can be unsure if something is recyclable or not. But if everyone can check the waste wizard and rescue at least one more recyclable item from general waste, it will make a big difference." And there's a lovely photograph of Judy Roberts.
Hundreds enjoy summer events. Families in Wallingford enjoyed free circus skills and drumming sessions over the summer. Six sessions delivered in July and August by Wigod Way Wallingford Family Centre attracted more than 570 people, including 353 children and 219 adults. Kelsey Proctor, Centre Manager at Wigod Way Wallingford Family Centre, said, "These events gave children the chance to learn new skills, but just as importantly, they gave parents permission to play too. The sessions included circus skills with aerial hoop and sling, led by Grace and Gravity, which saw 285 participants across two events. A family drum club and a samba drumming session with Go Dynamite also proved popular, with 90 and 197 attendees respectively. The samba drumming group gave a final performance on the main stage at Bunkfest, a free access community festival in Wallingford. The summer programme was funded by South Oxfordshire District Council and Sohar Housing, allowing families to take part at no cost." Ms. Proctor said, We are so grateful to South Oxfordshire District Council, SOHA, Grace and Gravity and Go Dynamite for making this possible.
Pride flag ban is backed by Police Commissioner. A ban by Thames Valley Police on wearing Pride flag pins or attending Pride events in uniform has been backed by the Thames Valley Police boss, who said it is important the force is impartial. A High Court ruling found that police officers were wrong to take part in a Northern Pride festival while in police uniform. Regional forces have, as such, obeyed the ruling, with Thames Valley Police and Crime Commissioner saying that it is important that police forces are seen to be impartial in upholding the law. According to Oxford Pride's website, Pride and its accompanying flag is about creating safe, diverse and inclusive spaces for the LGBTQIA+ community. However, the legal challenge this summer was, according to The Guardian, brought by a gender-critical lesbian who believes sex is immutable. As such, Lindsay Smith objected to the Chief Constable of Northumbria's support for the Pride event, a complaint upheld by the High Court. Since then, an anonymous source informed this paper that police officers have been banned from wearing Pride flag pins and cannot attend events whilst in uniform. This has been confirmed by the force. Assistant Chief Constable Dennis Murray said, "A recent court ruling found it unlawful for another police force's officers to wear uniform while taking part in the Northern Pride March. This means Thames Valley police officers can only attend Pride events in uniform when they are carrying out their policing duties, which they do with impartiality and professionalism." Mr. Murray confirmed that officers and staff can attend events in a personal capacity, but they have been asked not to do so while in uniform. "This approach balances out our duty of impartiality," he added. "With respect for individual rights under the European Convention on Human Rights." Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Barber was supportive of the approach, whilst emphasising that it's important that the force remains impartial in upholding the law. He said, "I support Thames Valley Police's position, which is entirely in line with the ruling of the courts."
So this is the On This Day section. 1975, Everest was climbed by the Southwest Face for the first time by Dougal Haston and Doug Scott. And there's a nice coloured photograph of one of them. Last year, a man who authorities say staked out Donald Trump for 12 hours on his golf course in Florida and wrote of his desire to kill him was indicted on Tuesday on charges that he attempted to assassinate a major presidential candidate. Birthdays: Helen Lederer, actress and writer, she's 71. Theo Paphaitis, entrepreneur, Dragon's Den, 66. Jack D, comedian, 64. Ali McCoist, broadcaster and former footballer, 63. Victoria Pendleton, former track cyclist, 45. And John Arne Rees, former footballer, 45. And then some dates in history. 1776, the oldest of the classic horse races, the St. Leger, was first run at Doncaster. In 1848, Branwell Bronte, brother of the Bronte sisters, died. He was the inspiration for the violent drunk Hindley Earnshaw in Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights, which she wrote in 1847. In 1852, the first hydrogen-filled airship, powered by a 3-horsepower steam engine built by Henry Giffard, I think that's French, Henri, made its maiden flight at Versailles in France. 1896, American writer F. Scott Fitzgerald was born. He became an alcoholic in his early 20s and died aged 44 after having 2 heart attacks. He wrote the definitive 1920s novel, The Great Gatsby, in 1925. And 1953, The Robe, the first film made in CinemaScope, was premiered in Hollywood. And in 1960, the first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS Enterprise, was launched in Newport, Virginia.
Curious facts with Jennifer Welch. So far, so good. Traditionally, a Chesterfield is a double-ended leather sofa with thick buttoned-up upholstery and short wooden legs. The design dates back to the mid-18th century and is believed to be named after the 4th Earl of Chesterfield, 1694 to 1773, who resided in Chesterfield House. He favoured this upholstery style because it didn't crease his attire and supported good posture. The defining feature of a Chesterfield is its deep buttoning, also known as deep tufting. This intricate technique requires the skill of an experienced artisan. Traditionally, the sofa's frame was made from hardwood and stuffed with horsehair, later replaced by foam. Though initially firm, a leather Chesterfield softens over time, developing a rich patina and comfortable feel. As fashions evolved, so did the Chesterfield. Velvet and damask versions were used in lavish interiors, often coordinating with soft furnishings. Buttons began appearing in contrasting materials and metals. Today, many designers and manufacturers produce what is widely recognized as a Chesterfield. However, purists may argue that most are merely in the style of. A true Chesterfield is crafted from the finest leather and materials. With age, wear adds to its charm. The well-worn one your great-grandfather bought may end up in a private room, while a new one takes pride of place in the drawing room.
Fond memories of radio shows. More memories of radio have been flooding in from readers, including Sheila Garner. She said, "I enjoy listening to the radio and recall when I was young going on my bike to the next village to collect the accumulator acid batteries which powered our large radio. We did not have much money but always bought top of the range radios. Now we have a radio in every room of the house. I still listen to the Archers and have the radio on most of the day." Another reader, Margaret, remembers listening to Round the Horn and Radio Sitcom and The Navy Lark. Ganesh Vangadesalam said, "Radio has a special place in his heart," adding, "Radio taught me the English language. I am a lifelong listener of BBC World Service and I treat radio as my library. Currently, I use a Sony World Band receiver and it comes with me wherever I travel abroad. As a passion, I collect old radios, renovate them, and give them to people who do not have radios, especially in my village in India." Colin Parfitt, born in 1942, enjoyed programmes such as Journey into Space and Dick Barton Special Agent. He said, "My childhood from late 40s until mid 50s was spent listening to the radio, which was the prime source of entertainment. Of course, the main ingredient in these days was your own imagination. Sadly, today's TV sometimes leaves very little to the imagination."
This is from the Herald Series website. Martin Lewis answered, "Is it cheaper to leave the heating on? As autumn arrives and the temperatures start to fall, many will be considering putting on the central heating. But is it cheaper to put it on when you feel the cold or leave it on all the time?" Martin Lewis has given his view. Having the heating on only when you need it is, in the long run, the best way to save energy and therefore money. A time is best as your thermostat turns your heating on and off to keep your home at the temperature you set. The key thing to understand here is that it's all about the total amount of energy required to heat your home. The money-saving expert founder added, "There are some engineers who argue that keeping the heating on low with all the radiators on and the boiler down can work as it reduces condensation, which when the heating is turned off collects within the walls. and can help conduct heat outside the home, meaning you lose heat more quickly, and so will lose heat more quickly and will lose heat more quickly and will use more energy as a result. So if your house is prone to that, you may want to think about it. According to experts at the Energy Saving Trust, the idea that it's cheaper to leave the heating on low all day is a myth, and it's better to heat your home only when you need it.
This is from the Herald Series website. Oxfordshire cyclist rode 55 miles on grandmother's bike. A cyclist rode 55 miles on his late grandmother's bike to raise money for charity. Glenn Dearlove from Cholsey in South Oxfordshire participated in the London to Brighton cycling event on his grandmother Nanny Jones three-speed bike. He raised £1,450 for Sue Ryder, a palliative and bereavement support charity. Mr. Dearlove said, "I came away from the day with heavy legs but a full heart." He wanted to give back to the charity after the amazing care they gave his grandmother. Mr. Dearlove said, "My wife and I have lost three grandparents in just the last few years. One of them, Nanny Joan, was cared for at home by the team from Sue Ryder Palliative Care Hub, South Oxfordshire. The Sue Ryder staff were just amazing. They knew exactly what to say and do to make us all feel at ease, especially in those very final moments." He added, "Nanny Joan had lived in the family home in Cholsey for over 65 years, and it meant a lot that she could spend her final days there, as it did to all of us as a family who could be there with her at the end. We gave the bike to Nanny Joan as a gift from her grandchildren on her 60th birthday. She was known around the village for riding her beloved bike and visiting people on it. She rode it until she was around 85 years old. Nanny Joan is my inspiration for many things in my life, and I just knew that if I was going to take on the London to Brighton cycle, it would have to be on her bike. As a keen cyclist, Mr. Dearlove is no stranger to long-distance rides, but choosing his grandmother's beloved wheels was not only emotional but also a unique challenge. He said, I was quite relaxed going into the event. I wasn't there to beat any records. I wanted to take it all in and enjoy it. My family was standing along the route, and I made sure I took the time to stop and see them. I really enjoyed every minute, and it was so well organised. I had some mementos of the grandparents with me, so it felt like they were with me all the way, and it was very emotional crossing the finish line."
Our new feature, upcoming events, these that might be of interest to you or friends and family. Thursday, 2nd of October, Digital Helper Drop-In, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This is at Wallingford Library. It's free, friendly one-to-one help with a knowledgeable volunteer. Free, but booking advised. Book by calling 01865 815193 or email wallingford.library@oxfordshire.gov.uk. Thursday, 2nd of October, Age UK Tea Books, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. This is held at Wallingford Library. Book, group and social aimed at those aged 60 plus. Please contact the library about joining. £1 donation per session. Refreshments are provided. Friday, 10th of October, Oxford International Song Festival for 14 days. Oxford will once again become a vibrant hub of musical storytelling, 10th to the 24th of October, thanks to Oxford International Song Festival. Celebrating the art of song in all its forms, no fewer than 67 events invite audiences to join everything from timeless ballads and fairy tales to contemporary works and national traditions. At the heart of the festival is storytelling, not only through voice, but also through dance, chamber music, and engaging talks. The lineup promises a feast for the senses and the imagination, with concerts throughout the day and late into the evening, set in some of the city's most atmospheric venues, including the Holywell Music Room, Europe's oldest purpose-built concert hall, as well as the chapels of New College and Merton College. Saturday the 18th of October, Rutter's Requiem Open Rehearsal, 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at St. Mary Lamore Church, Wallingford. Wallingford Parish Church Choir opened rehearsal for Sir John Rutter's Requiem. The rehearsal is a great opportunity to explore this beautiful piece and to sing with the choir in the church. Refreshments provided, fee of £1 to be paid on the day. And finally, Monday, 20th of October, My Vision Coffee Morning, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m, Wallingford Library. My Vision Coffee Morning, this is a social group supporting people living with visual impairment.
And finally, King Cobra among dangerous wild animals living in Oxfordshire. Did you know that a variety of dangerous wild animals are living in Oxfordshire, including lions and a king cobra? International wildlife charity Born Free recently revealed that there are more than 2,700 dangerous wild animals being kept privately with a licence in the UK and Northern Ireland. Oxfordshire, which is broken down to West Oxfordshire, was among the areas in Britain where dangerous wild animals can be found. The Born Free survey showed there are 140 dangerous wild animals living in the area, including red kangaroos, wolves, tigers, and more. Some of the dangerous wild animals living in West Oxfordshire, according to Born Free: 75 wild boar, 6 lions, 4 tigers, 4 leopards, 1 alligator, 6 camels, 4 zebra, 10 ring-tailed lemur, 8 red kangaroos, and 1 king cobra.
That brings us to the end of this week's recording of the Talking Newspaper. We'll be with you again next week with more news and other items we hope of interest. Until then, from all of us, it's goodbye.